With your Amex card, entertainment benefits like special ticket access and pre-sales to select can't-miss events while supplies last, make every tap music to your ears.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Breaking down every game, every day in Major League Baseball. This is the Baseball Betting Show. Here is your host, Greg Peterson.
Hey, warm up from the above. Welcome to lovely Las Vegas for the Baseball Betting Show with myself, Greg Peterson, now part of the VSiN family of podcasts. We've got an excellent podcast for you. Joining me in segment number two, we are going to be getting one of our good friends aboard as we're going to have Andrew Cayley on. He does great work over at Covers. We're going to get a little bit of a roundup as of what we've seen on the Toronto Blue Jays, and he doesn't have too many encouraging words to say. That's a shocker, but that said, we're going to be chatting about that, and we're also going to be taking a look at some games that we've got for Tuesday. We're also going to be chatting with him about the high amount of unders that we've been seeing over the last few weeks in baseball as well. What he attributes that to in the final segment, going to get you guys picks and analysis on every game on the betting board for this Baseball Tuesday as we touch them all. If you do have a question, comment, segment idea, what have you, for this podcast, you do have one of two ways we offer those in. First one is by Twitter /XTimeline at @GDN_D1. Keep in mind, letters M, they mean does not matter, so as per usual, please do send these into the timeline. And the other way is find an Apple Podcast review. If you rate this podcast 5 stars, it is very much appreciated. From there, you're able to fire in whatever you'd like to hear on this podcast via that 5-star review. And did not get in any Twitter/X questions today, but we did have a fun day of baseball on Monday. Let's take a look back at it, try to find some trends, and try to get to know these teams a little bit better.
A game from yesterday is Greg buzzing about. Here is the rowdy recap.
The Philadelphia Phillies just continue to roll. They take down the San Francisco Giants by a count of 6-1. That is a 4-game sweep for them. And for the Phillies, they are 25-11, which, if I'm not mistaken, that is the best record out there in the National League. For the Giants, they trotted out their Pennsylvania native, Mason Black, the pride of the Lehigh Mountain Ox, and, well, Philadelphia greeted him very rudely. 5 runs in 4 1/3 innings surrendered by him. As for Philadelphia, you had a home run off the bat of Bryce Harper off of him, his 8th home run season, then Kyle Schwarber, 3-run shot, 9th home run of the campaign. From there, the bullpen wasn't bad. Luke Jackson, along with Eric Miller, both fill 1 1/3 inning scoreless. Tyler Rogers, he gives up a home run in his inning of work as well, as he gave up, I believe, that home run that we did see to Kyle Schwarber. But that's it for Zach Wheelan and Dylan Wheeler. He was Wheelan and he was Dylan. 1 unearned run given up in 7 innings, 11 strikeouts. That's old 7-11. He's always open to making you money. Matt Strom, Orion Kierking from there, both give you a scoreless inning. And for the Giants, it's been a little bit of a rough sledding for them to begin the season. Your top over team in all of baseball might not be a team that you were expecting. The Tampa Bay Rays, they take down the Chicago White Sox. This by a count of 8-2. As for the White Sox, Mike Clevinger comes off the injured list and does not lend any length whatsoever. 4 runs, 3 of which were earned, gives up 4 walks in 2 innings. Jared Schuster from there in long relief gives up 3 runs in his 2 1/3 innings, including a home run to Johnny DeLuca, his first home run of the campaign. From there, you had Tanner Banks be able to fill 2 scoreless innings. Tim Hill gives up an unearned run in 1 2/3 innings, but White Sox continue to be sad and embarrassing. They go to 8-27 on the season, as they did have Tommy Pham get a second home run season. That comes off of Tyler Alexander, who only goes 4 innings, gives up those 2 runs, but from there you had Edwin Uceta give you 2 scoreless innings, and Erasmo Ramirez, 3 scoreless innings, as the Tampa Bay Rays spent a little bit of a rough go of it for them thus far this season, but all of a sudden they've been able to put together 4 straight wins, and this team is starting to put it together a little bit as well. How about the Minnesota Twins being able to get a 3-1 win? They've now won 11 out of their last 12. Granted, many of those wins were against the Angels and the Chicago White Sox, but that said, for Luis Castillo, gives up 3 runs in 6 2/3 innings. Just the 2nd start in the last 23 for a Seattle Mariners starter, which the starting pitcher gave up more than two earned runs from their Trent Thornton, one and a third inning scoreless. Meanwhile, for the Minnesota Twins, Simeon Woods-Richards was very good in this one. Gives up just one hit in six scoreless innings. Griffin Jacks does give up a run in an inning, but Yoan Duran, along with Caleb Thielbar, they both end a scoreless inning, so the Twins find a way to be able to get it done. The Miami Marlins close in a lot of spots as right around about like plus 280 underdogs. They get up 2-0, but that's where the triumph would end. 6-3, the final end. If you had the over, you were able to get there, but all these runs, all nine of them, scored in the first three innings of the game. As for Miami, this was not the start that Roderick Munoz was looking for. He gives up six runs in 4 2/3 innings, gives up four home runs on his seven hits, going deep for the LA Dodgers. Freddie Freeman is third home run season, Teoscar Hernandez is ninth, Shohei Ohtani is league leading 11th, and James Outman, he was Outman, his third home run of the season. From there, you did have Declan Cronin along with Anthony Maldonado lend a scoreless inning. Eli Villalobos was able to give you one and a third inning scoreless as well. And for the Miami Marlins, you did have Nick Flash Gordon be able to get his fifth home run season off of Walker Buehler, who made his first start since the 2022 campaign on an MLB mound. Gives up three runs over the course of four innings. From there, Ryan Yarbrough, three scoreless, Blake Treinen, Alex Vesia. They both lend a scoreless inning. So the big underdog does not cash there. But for the Oakland A's, they were looking to get back to 500. Things were looking good for them after Alex Wood tosses six scoreless innings. But the Rangers rally from down 2-0 to win by a count of 4-2. As for the Rangers, Corey Seager, who's been cold all season long, comes up with a three-run homer in the eighth inning, his third of the campaign off of Lucas Ursage. As for Wood, he gave up just two hits in his six scoreless innings. From there, Austin Adams was able to give you a scoreless inning. Danny Jimenez gives up an unearned run in his ending of work, but Lucas Ursage, who's been pretty solid all season long, gives up three runs in that homer in his ending of work. Meanwhile, for the Oakland A's, 0-9 with men in scoring position. As for the Rangers, Andrew Heaney did his part, two runs, one of which was earned, give it up in six innings. Jose Leclerc, David Robertson, Kirby Yates from there, they're all able to toss a scoreless inning. So a little bit of heartbreak hotel for the Oakland A's. And by the way, for the Seattle Mariners, they're currently by far your top under team in all of baseball. Eight overs, 25 unders, and two pushes thus far this season. So you've been seeing them be very underwhelming. But the team that is number two in terms of the unders, the Kansas City Royals, they take down the Milwaukee Brewers. That by a count of 3-2. As for the Brew Crew, you had a relatively solid start here from Bryce Wilson. One hit and six scoreless innings. And then from there, the bullpen yacked it away. As Jared Koenig, he gives up three runs in a third of an inning, including a home run going deep. Michael Massey, his third home run season. No outs out of the bullpen from Elvis Piguero, but he put a trio of men on base before Hobie Milner, cleaning up the mess, got five outs out of the bullpen scoreless. And lone form of offense for the Brewers, Gary Sanchez, fourth home run of the season. That comes off of Cole Ragans, who gives up that home run, two runs in total in six innings. But Nick Anderson, Chris Ryan, they both lend a scoreless inning apiece. And Will Smith and Ty Duffy, they get jiggy with it. They combine for a scoreless inning as the Brewers. So your number two team in terms of overs in all of baseball, but I think we're going to see a little bit of regression there. Number three is the San Diego Padres. And our DK Network right a pick was on the Cubs' money line, and this was just a heartbreaker. 6-3, the final is for Justin Steele. He makes his first start since opening day. Very solid, 4 2/3 innings, does not give up any runs, pulled after 68 pitches. That was rough. And then Richard Lovelady comes in and he gives up three runs while getting an out of the bullpen. Danny Palencia gives up three runs in an inning. All six runs for the Padres do not come out of home runs. They just kept moving the line in the sixth inning. And then from there, you do have Colton Brewer come in. He gives you two scoreless innings. Albert Alzale, a scoreless inning. But the Cubs had bases loaded, no men out in the eighth inning, and they come up with nothing, and they stranded a pair in the seventh inning as well. As for the Padres, Yu Darvish, a good start as well. Five scoreless innings out of him. He gets pulled, and then the bullpen made a mess out of this as well. See, Yael De Los Santos, Yuki Matsui, they combine for 1 2/3 innings. They give up a combined three runs, including a pair of homers. Going deep for the Cubs, Yan Gomes, his second home run season. Christopher Morel, his eighth. But from there, you had a bunch of guys get out of some sticky spots as Wandy Peralta, along with Jeremiah Estrada, they combine for a pair of outs out of the bullpen scoreless, and Robert Suarez, five outs out of the bullpen to be able to get a save to be able to pick it up there. The New York Mets, they win by a count of 4-3 against the St. Louis Cardinals, who are now 15-20. And it's been a rough year for the Cardinals. 22 unders, 11 overs, and two pushes on totals thus far this season. And for the Cardinals, Kyle Gibson, not a bad start. Three runs, two of which were earned, given up in six innings, hurt by a Lars Nootbaar error out there in the field. And Andrew Kittredge does a lot of solo home run in his ending of work. Brandon Nimmo, his fourth home run of the season, but John King, Nick Robertson, goodbye for a scoreless inning. Ryan Fernandez, he's able to give you a scoreless inning as well. And for the New York Metropolitans. Sean Manea gives up 3 runs in 6 innings, but enough to be able to get it done as the bullpen holds it down. Jake Diekman, Adam Ottavino, and Edwin Diaz, they're all able to lend a scoreless inning, and you saw plenty of scoreless innings lent by the Pittsburgh Pirates. 4-1, they take down the LA Angels as, for Mitch Keller, he goes a complete game, gives up a home run along the way. Going deep for the LA Angels, it was home run number 3 of the season for Zach Neto. Tyler Anderson was expecting a little bit of regression out of him, gives up 4 runs in 6 1/3 innings, including a home run to Ed Olivares, his 4th home run campaign. From there, Hunter Strickland does provide 5 outs out of the bullpen scoreless, but very interesting for Mitch Keller. Complete game, just 5 strikeouts. He actually goes under a strikeout prop, but he's able to provide a complete game. I do think that that is very heartwarming, and that's what you'd love to see. And for the Cleveland Guardians, not a lot of offense, but just enough to be able to get it done. 2-1, they take down the Detroit Tigers, and the Guardians have been your best team on the run line in all of baseball this season. As a favorite, they weren't able to cover the -1.5, but still 24-11 is their run line record thus far this season, as they do just enough against Jack Flaherty. He gives up 2 runs in 6 innings, including a home run to Jose Ramirez, 7th home run season from there. Joey Wentz, 2 scoreless innings, and one form of offense in this game for Detroit came on the first batter. Riley Green, read-off home run, 9th home run season that comes off Tristan McKenzie. That's all he'd give up in 5 innings. Then from there, Nick Sandlin, Sam Antages, they combine for 2 scoreless innings. Hunter Gaddis, Emmanuel Clase, they're both able to lend a scoreless inning, a piece of their own. And if you're looking at baseball right now, whole bunch of unders thus far this season. You saw just 3 overs in Major League Baseball on Monday, and if you're looking at what we've all gotten over the last 30 days in Major League Baseball, it has been very, very much underwhelming. 214 unders to 165 overs. That's a 56.5% clip to the under in that time span. Favorites hitting at right around about 58.9% on the money line, 231 and 161. And if you want to shorten it up a little bit, the last 7 days, favorites have been very good. 56 and 32 on the money line, 63.5% hit rate. Meanwhile, the unders, they are coming through. 48 unders to 35 overs. That's 57.8% to the under. And overall for the season, the under rate is more around 53.4%. 268 unders, 234 overs. And a few pushes along the way, while favorites hitting at about 58.8%, 306 and 214. So that's what we're seeing trend-wise in baseball, and that's what we all got on Monday. Now let's turn it forward to Tuesday, and let's take a look at the struggles of the Toronto Blue Jays with our good friend who is north of the border, Andrew Cayley of Covers. He joins me next right here on the Baseball Betting Show with myself, Greg Peterson. Now, a part of the Beeson Family Podcast.
There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables. Ooh, yum. And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only, must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts. If you dare.
This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh my, look at that, he is! And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Breaking down every game, every day in Major League Baseball, this is the Baseball Betting Show. Here is your host, Greg Peterson.
And we're back here in lovely Las Vegas for the Baseball Betting Show with myself, Greg Peterson, now part of the Visa Family Podcast. And it's always great to be joined by this man, as Andrew Cayley. He does an absolutely tremendous job over at Covers, taking a look at this great game of baseball. But he does a great job on so many different fronts. I know that he's doing amazing work on the front of the NBA. He does nice work when it comes to getting set for the college football season. Out there on the links, he's finding us some winners there as well. And you're able to follow my Twitter/X at @Covers_Cayley. Last name is spelled C-A-L-E-Y. That's also where you're able to find his bat flip and pick of the day, which is where he picks a prop, a side, a total, what have you, on every Toronto Blue Jays game. And Andrew, it's always great to get you aboard. Thank you.
It's always great to be here, Greg. It has not been always great to be making Blue Jays picks recently. But it's always great to be here talking baseball betting, that's for sure.
It's always great to have you aboard. And how about if we do start there first things first with the Toronto Blue Jays? As we saw on Sunday, they gave Alek Manoah the start. And Manoah, what, he got destroyed. Shock, shock, surprise, surprise there. But just what have you made out of the Toronto Blue Jays thus far this season? A bunch where you thought that the pitching might struggle a little bit, and the bullpen certainly has, but I mean, we all thought that the offense, while it might not be like top three in the league, that'd be somewhere like above average, and they haven't been anything but this far this season.
It has been, in a word, frustrating. While I'm a handicapper of them, I'm also a fan, and it has been frustrating beyond any level of a doubt. They have been hitting three guys at the top of their order in George Springer, Vladimir Guerrero Jr., and Bo Bichette pretty much all season, and all three of them have an OPS below 700 at this point. And score runs. They rank a reasonable 19th in OPS, but they just refuse to make adjustments at this point. It's very frustrating to see them waste more good starting pitching. Jose Berríos, you have varying opinions on Jose Berríos, Greg, but he has been serviceable again for them this year. Yusei Kikuchi is carrying over that momentum he built in 2023 into this year. Kevin Gausman is kind of looking like himself again after a bit of a rocky start. You kind of never know what you're going to get with Chris Bassett, but they have no pitching depth now. They were hoping Manoah could bounce back and be that guy, but nobody who has been around this team, at least from an observation standpoint, was like, we're going to put Alek Manoah in this game and we think he's going to be successful. Anybody following him knows he had one good start at AAA Buffalo. He had been struggling up until that point. I'll give him credit. For the first 2 2/3 innings, he looked okay. He had 5 strikeouts. His two-seamer was moving pretty well. But when the two-seamer, when he was losing command of that two-seamer, then he'd just be throwing his breaking ball right over the heart of the plate. And the Washington Nationals, who actually rank worse than the Blue Jays when it comes to weighted runs created plus this year, were absolutely crushing him. And that's what we've been seeing for the last year and a half now. And the hitting's not there. I find it quite hilarious that most Jays fans were hoping we could get a Dalton Varsho breakout, and we've kind of gotten it, but it's been irrelevant at this point because the team just is not performing. Like I said, they're refusing to make changes. I think young guys like Davis Schneider should be hitting at the top of the order. They're just try something, anything, because what they're doing right now is not working. And this was the fear following that sweep to the Twins in the wild card round, that they built this team on pitching and defense, but that's not enough. It doesn't matter if you're giving up just two runs in a series, but you're only scoring one, you're still going to lose. And they doubled down on that going into this season. They thought they'd be competitive. And right now, they are minus 240 to miss the playoffs. I think that might as well be minus 10,000 at this point. This team does not look like a playoff team in any way, shape, or form. They're in last place in arguably the toughest division in baseball. They're already 7.5 games behind the Baltimore Orioles. And you look up at the Orioles and you're like, hey, this is the team the Blue Jays thought they were going to be 2-3 years ago when they started this little competitive run of theirs. And that's just not the case. This team is not built for success unless major changes are made. Like, this is the Toronto Blue Jays, unfortunately, for those who enjoy watching them.
Yeah, it has been rough to watch them, to say the least. And now they have to open up a series against a Philadelphia Phillies team that has been white hot. And to your point, as we do have Andrew Cabley, who does great work over at Covers, joining me right here on the Baseball Betting Show, Jose Berríos has been much better on the road than he has been throughout his career. Biggest knock I've always had on Berríos is he's always good at home and he always struggles on the road. He's really rectified those issues over the last 12 months, but finds himself here between plus 110 to a plus 120 against the Phillies, who throw out their Christopher Sanchez with a total of 8. And do want to get your thoughts here, because even though it's a relatively low total of 8, and even though we haven't seen the Philadelphia Phillies really being able to come alive for the bats, I do take a look at this spot, and I do think that we should be in for a relatively low-scoring slog, and I just have a tough time taking overs in Blue Jays games when you do have more of these trustworthy starters out there, because you know that guys like Berríos, Yusei Kikuchi will hold down the fort, and you know they're not going to get a lot of offensive production behind them.
Yeah, particularly the first five-inning under is what I had circled on my notepad here. Like you said, Berríos has been really solid this year, and while some of his advanced numbers say a regression might be due for him, he's a real battler now, it looks like. He goes out there, he's not going to blow every single one away, but when he has his mix of pitches working, he can obviously be very effective. He's been the Blue Jays' most effective starter this season, and I know the Phillies are red hot right now, but he's the guy that can kind of keep them down at least for a little while. I worry about the full game total just because not only do the Jays, the bullpen has been struggling. John Schneider, I was kind of shocked that he still has a job this morning, to be honest. Like, he threw Eric Swanson out there again, a guy who has definitely been struggling, but the bullpen had been pretty rested at this point, and they still threw him out there. And he's Swanson, for guys who don't follow me, he's a guy with a very hard split finger, and it's just not splitting, basically, and he can't really control where it goes too well. And so he's trying to kind of place it, and it's just batting practice for opposing teams right now. It's not just Swanson. He seems to be putting guys in situations where they can't succeed. So that makes me fearful for a full game under, because like you said, this Alec Bohm and then Bryce Harper and all these guys are just playing so well right now that it's really fun to watch. The Phillies are basically the antithesis of the Blue Jays right now, and they're a really fun team to watch, and they're hitting the ball really well. So love the first five inning under. I would lean the full game under as well, because Toronto just can't score, and Sanchez has been a nice little story for them, for the Phillies as well. So I'd lean under full game, but I love the first five under.
Yep, myself as well. I do think that this is going to be a lower scoring game. What do you make just what we've seen league-wide with regards to these totals, Andrew? Because I take a look at this game, and I do like the under, and I've just noticed it over the last 3 days going into Monday, north of 56% of games have gone under the total, and even though we've got some bullpens that are a little bit less than trustworthy, it feels like home runs are way down this year, and it feels like, in general, we've been getting some very dominant starting pitching thus far this season.
Yeah, and it seems like books haven't really adjusted to this point. I don't know if it's just because we've seen a bit of a transition away. We had this era of like tremendous starting pitchers, and I know they're still around, the Jacob deGroms and the Clayton Kershaws and Justin Verlanders and all these guys. You'd see those guys trot out there and you'd happily take an under seven if you saw it. I can't remember seeing too many sevens on the board this year, despite the fact that scoring is down. Like, even, for example, I'm just scrolling down the board. The lowest total I'm seeing is an even eight. And that's just an opportunity for underbetters, I would say, right now, especially if you're picking out the right pitching matchup. So it's an interesting time when it comes to betting baseball totals, but there's some opportunities to be had when it comes to underbetting.
Yeah, there certainly has been a lot of opportunities, as Andrew Cayley does tremendous work over at Covers is joining me right here on the Baseball Betting Show. And creme de la creme when it comes to the unders, that'd be the Seattle Mariners, as they have played just eight overs this far this season. Entering into Monday, it's going to be Emerson Hancock against Bailey Ober. And for the Twins, I'm finding them right now about a minus 140 to a minus 145 favorite. And I want to get your thoughts here because it feels like for Seattle, it's just been all about this great starting pitching where they got two earned runs of fear surrendered in 21 out of 22 starts going into Monday. And I think that there should be a little bit of regression here. But at the same time, I feel like the Twins in this spot as well, badly overvalued because they entered into the back half of that series against the Red Sox on an 11-game win streak. But most of those wins were against the LA Angels and also against the Chicago White Sox. As a matter of fact, seven of those wins were against the Chicago White Sox. And I feel like as a result of some of these teams playing against the terrible White Sox and the Angels, that some of these teams like the Twins, where they might be playing them in a string, get overvalued. And I think that that's the case right now in this Mariners versus Twins game.
Yeah, and AL Central in general, you really have to, when you look at those records, make sure you go and you check their schedules and you see how many times they've played the White Sox, because you see a record like the Twins and you're like, oh, geez, they're 9-1 in their last 10. I'm like, oh, they played the White Sox seven times. That's a pretty big variance there in what you can actually determine is good baseball or not. Like even Ober, he, in his last start, he faced the White Sox. He was okay. He pitched six innings. He gave up four runs, six hits, only struck out three. And now he's going up against the Seattle team that's been playing better of late. Emerson Hancock, he's been hit or miss at times. He had a good little hot streak there where he pitched three straight quality starts. I don't really know what to think when it comes to the Mariners offense as well. So I would lean towards the underdog here just in that sense. This is two offenses who are unpredictable, I would say. And with the Mariners playing the tougher schedule of late, I would lean towards getting the plus money with them. Look, our coverage consensus right now has only 17% of bettors on them, but I like that price with them.
Absolutely. And then I take a look at this spot, and I do think that's interesting as well. It's the Arizona Diamondbacks and the Cincinnati Reds. And I always talk about the home and road splits of Jose Berríos, but we certainly have to be doing that for Zach Gallen as well, a guy that I love backing at home, a guy that I really don't want to be backing on the road right now. It's Frankie Montas, who I believe that he had a start or two skip for him for the Reds. This is right now a total of 9 with the Diamondbacks between minus 120 to a minus 125. And we talk about how big of a disappointment the Blue Jays are. The Diamondbacks made the World Series last year, but they're below 500. And again, just like I talk about with some of these pitchers, for Zach Gallen, he's been amazing at home. On the road, you have not profited if you bet him the last few seasons.
Yeah, like you said, I actually do like the Diamondbacks in kind of a, like a buy-low situation moving forward. Like they're to make the playoffs, you can get them at plus 180 right now. I know they've got a little bit of work to do, but like, who are they really battling for a wild card spot right now? Like, you know, the Phillies and Braves are going to be battling in the National League East all season year, and the loser's probably going to get one of those spots. But I don't know. Outside of that, like, there's not too many games that the Diamondbacks have to make up with teams like the Padres or, say, like the Cubs or even the Reds if they start turning things around. I agree with you here. Montas has been good when he has pitched, but he's going to be a little rusty, I think, as well. He only pitched like 2/3 of an inning, April 21st, I believe it was. I expect them to not force him along too hard here. What's been shocking for me has been the play of the Diamondbacks lineup. Like, they have a really, really solid lineup when you look at it on paper, 1 through 9, but they just haven't really performed yet to this point. I expect that to turn around at some point, maybe against a guy who's going to shake some rust off. We talked about a lot of unders, but this might be a spot where I might lean towards the over here, even though it's at 9. Like you said, Gallen struggling on the road, Montas shaking off some rust, and like both lineups.
Yep, I do as well. And with the Arizona Diamondbacks, they've really been able to hit despite the fact that Corbin Carroll has been miserable thus far this season. So that has been fascinating to take a look at it, Andrew. We do have all 30 teams in action on Tuesday. As we record this, a little bit TBD as who the Padres and the Rangers are going to be throwing out there. But rest of the games, we've all got set starters and things of that nature. So anything else that you are taking a look at for Tuesday, whether that be a bet that you're placing or just a game in general that you want to watch?
So there is one under I definitely saw right away, and that's between the Red Sox and the Braves. Total's at 9 right now. We've got Cutter Crawford going against the Reynaldo Lopez. Crawford obviously has been one of the most shockingly good pitchers to start the season. He's got a 1.56 ERA through 7 starts. He's allowing opponents to hit just 201 against him this year. Obviously, the Braves are a very good offense, and they come home after licking their wounds after getting swept by the Dodgers over the weekend. But Crawford's been really good, and maybe he can take advantage of them in that spot, maybe being down a little bit. Meanwhile, Lopez, of course, he goes to the Braves, and he starts showing signs of the guy we saw just brief glimpses of when he was with the White Sox all those years. But he has a 1.50 ERA with them right now, as opposed to the Braves, this Red Sox lineup, I look at it and I'm like, there are some holes and some room for improvement to be made here. I really like the under 9 in this matchup.
I do think that that's a solid look, as the Braves just have not hit home runs the way that they have in past years, and certainly when it comes to this matchup as well. It's been a Boston Red Sox team that has been a little bit hot and cold with their bats as well, so going to be really interesting to see what we get out there with the Braves team. That still is one of the creme de la creme teams out there in the National League, and a man that is a complete dominator at being able to give us just great information, does a tremendous job taking a look at this board. That'd be you, Andrew. I know that you're doing tremendous work over at Covers on so many different fronts. So let the good people at home know it's all on tap for you and how people are able to follow along on social media and other platforms.
You can follow along with me at Twitter or X at Covers_Kaley. That's C-A-L-E-Y, where I post my daily bat flipping picks of the day, as you mentioned. It's been a tough time, like I said, but follow along anyway. And lots of MLB player props every day. It's summer. We're getting closer to summer, which means it's closer to college football. A lot of the spring games have happened. Win totals are going to start to come out, so maybe we'll get a few plays in that area as well coming up.
That's what we do like to see, as Andrew, I know that he's doing an amazing job taking a look on the front of baseball and so much more, and it's always great to be able to get him aboard. Big thanks, Andrew, for joining me on the Baseball Betting Show, now part of the VSiN Family Podcast, and coming up next, it is that time of the podcast. I give you picks and analysis on every game on the betting board for this Baseball Tuesday as we touch them all.
This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast, is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
There's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing!
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel. It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my! Look at that! He is! And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win! Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Breaking down every game, every day in Major League Baseball, this is the Baseball Betting Show. Here is your host, Greg Peterson.
And we're back here in lovely Las Vegas for the Baseball Betting Show with myself, Greg Peterson, now part of the VSiN Family Podcast. It is always great to be able to get on our friend Andrew Cayley, who does tremendous work over at Covers, taking a look at this great game of baseball. Know that he's also doing an amazing job on the golf front. Every single time he joins this podcast, he lends such good insight. So, big thanks, Andrew, for joining me in the last segment. Now it is that time of the podcast. I give you picks and analysis on every game on the betting board for this Baseball Tuesday as we touch them all.
If a game is listed on the betting board, Greg has a side and a total on it, so it is time to touch them all.
Do note that, as per usual, any changes that are made to these plays will be listed up on my Twitter/X feed, at GNN_41. We're going to be going in Las Vegas rotation order. This is where we go with the national games first, then the American League games, and any intra-league games. Those are at the bottom. That'll keep things all nice, neat, clean, and easy. So, without further ado, let's dive in on this first game of 901-902 on the card. It is the Cincinnati Reds. Yes, we are on to Cincinnati. They are playing host to the Arizona Diamondbacks. Zach Gallen goes for Arizona, and one Frankie Montas is on the bump for the Reds. The total on this game is 9. The over and under, both are -110. The Reds are anywhere between +105 to +111 underdogs, and between -120 to -125 is that number on Arizona. And at a +108 or higher, I was willing to take a shot on the Cincinnati Reds. It's something that I've talked about a lot with Zach Gallen. He just does not pitch the same way when he is on the road rather than when he is at home. If he dated to the start of the 2023 season, this guy has been absolutely masterful when he's been in Arizona. In Arizona, he's posting up an ERA with about a 2.25, half a home run per 9 innings allowed. He has been great. On the road, north of a 4.50 ERA in this time span with about 1.35 home runs allowed per 9 innings. Like, it is truly night and day when his ERA doubles when he's away from home. And it's not as if he's backed up by the world's greatest bullpen. We have been noticing guys like Joe Mantiply stepping up a little bit. Justin Martinez has been able to do a nice job of being able to hold down the fort as well. But the Cincinnati Reds, in my opinion, have a little bit of a leg up in terms of the bullpen, though both of these teams have been scuffling a little bit. The Diamondbacks, 23rd in the league in terms of bullpen ERA. Scott Mago just has not been too terrific for this team thus far this season. They are dealing with guys like Miguel Castro, Luis Frias, currently being out of the fold, though I do like what I've seen out of more of the longer guys like a Bryce Jarvis. Brian Thompson has been relatively solid as well. And then for Cincinnati, getting Sam Wall back in the fold, that has been big for them. And they might need it because Frankie Montas, his last start came about two and a half or so weeks ago. And when Frankie Montas has been fully healthy, he hasn't been too bad. He's been able to really bend but not break. His strikeout numbers are down with about 6.5 strikeouts per 9 innings, and he is giving up about 4.5 walks per 9 innings, but that said, 4.19 ERA, fielding independent is a little bit higher, and he does have to go up against an Arizona Diamondbacks lineup that has been able to do a relatively solid job of being able to put bat to ball. This despite the fact that Corbin Carroll has been absolutely miserable thus far this season. One home run, inning at 203, you just expect more there, but you've had Christian Walker, Ketel Marte, be able to combine for 13 home runs, both of these guys hitting at least a 280 with at least a 360 on base. Lourdes Gurriel, he's been able to supply 5 home runs, he's been in a little bit of a cold streak, but all in all, he's been able to give you about a 245 average. You've got guys like Blaze Alexander, Jake McCarthy, Jock Peterson, who have been able to supply north of a 360 on base. And for the Arizona Diamondbacks, they entered into Monday tied for fifth in the big leagues with regards to runs per game, and they're putting up about 4.75 runs per game when they're away from home. Meanwhile, for Cincinnati, it has been a little bit of a feast or famine lineup that, despite the fact that they play at Great American Ballpark, which is very much a launching pad, they've actually scored more runs when they've been away from home rather than at home. It's been very strange. We've seen this last 2 years out of them. Ellie De La Cruz has been carrying the mail for the team. 375 on base, 8 home runs. Nobody else on the team has more than 4 home runs. That would be Will Benson along Spencer Sieran. Sieran's been able to give you about a 350 on base. Jonathan India isn't necessarily hitting for average, but he's giving you a 341 on base. But need more out of guys like Santiago Espino, Christian Encarnacion Strand, Jameer Candelario, guys like this are hitting below the Mendoza line of a 200, but really just have to have my trepidations with Zach Gallen on the road. And I do think that Frankie Montas, with this being his first start in a few weeks, I do think that he is going to be struggling a little bit as well. So, did some ideal at 9.1, yard at 9, looking at the over, and being able to get a plus 108 or higher, going to be looking at that Reds money line. 903, 904 on the betting board. The San Diego Padres hit the road. They're facing off against the Chicago Cubs. Right now, it is to be determined for the Padres, and Shota Imanaga is going to be on the bump for the Cubs. I'm thinking we're going to get Randy Vasquez here. This was supposed to be Joe Musgrove starting, but Musgrove got placed on the injured list. Randy Vasquez got recalled, so that's why by process of elimination, I'm going to be going with Randy Vasquez. So if he doesn't go, it's subject to a little bit of change, but I wouldn't think that this would change too much. I set the Cubs on the money line at a minus 178, and somebody told to wear 9 or less. I'm going to be taking a look at the over, a 9.5 or higher to the under out there at Wrigley. The wind is not like super duper bad this time of year. You're getting some fair conditions, so I don't think that the wind is going to be as big of a factor when it comes to these games as you might be seeing a few weeks from now. But that said, we were noticing the wind was blowing out just a little bit in terms of the expectations for Wednesday. You might be having it blowing out to begin the game and then blowing in to end the game. That is something that I'm looking out for as well. So the total is very much subject to change. If that wind is going to continue to blow out throughout the day, I'm going to be jacking it up. If the wind going to blow in, which it looks like it's going to be from Thursday moving forward, is actually happening earlier than expected, I'm going to drop it down. But as of right now, I'm looking at a 9 or less to the over, a 9.5 or higher to the under. But do note that there is some subject to change with regards to the weather conditions. But for Imanaga, this guy has been absolutely tremendous. He is posting up right now a sub-1 ERA. He has went out there. He has not given up any walks whatsoever. 4 walks in 34 and 2/3 innings. He has given up 5 runs, 3 of which were earned. He's dominating lefties. He's dominating righties. He's getting 9 strikeouts per 9 innings. This has just been a masterclass since he has come over from Japan. Meanwhile, for Randy Vasquez, he in his big league career has been able to be serviceable. Like last year in his couple starts with the Yankees, he had a 2.87 ERA. This year, he's only made 2 starts and 7 and 2/3 innings. He has given up 8 runs, 5 of which were earned. He's been very much hurt by the fielding, but throughout his career, he's had a 5.29 fielding independent, not a high strikeout guy. For his career, about 7.5 punchouts, 4.2 walks per 9, and he does give up a little bit of hard contact, though he does benefit a little bit from the Chicago Cubs being a bit banged up. Cody Bellinger, C.A. Suzuki dealing with injuries. That has hurt this Cubs team a little bit, but he's still been able to get Christopher Morel online. In the last series, he was able to provide a pair of home runs. That's big. Michael Busch, ever since he had that streak where he had 5 home runs in 5 games, he's went a little bit cold, but he, Nico Horner, Mike Tauchman, they're all hitting at least a 260. And for the Padres, Luis Arraez being able to come back in the fold, that certainly helps out this team. But for Imanaga, he's a left-handed pitcher, and going into the day on Monday, Padres were hitting just .195 against lefties. They've been able to provide a little bit of power, but they have not hit lefties to save their lives. You do have Jerickson Profar entering into Monday, hitting about a .344. He's been rock solid, and you've got Fernando Tatis Jr. He has been able to do a nice job hitting for 7 home runs, hitting about a .250. But Manny Machado, he got the day off on Monday for Donovan Solano, so that's something that you want to watch out for. Awesome Kim, Xander Bogaerts, these are guys hitting at .220 or lower for the Padres and the Cubs. These are two average or below average bullpen, so I do think that the Padres are going to pick it up with their bullpen. Angel De Los Santos, Juani Peralta, Yuki Matsui, liked all those acquisitions. Jeremiah Estrada, a former Cub, he's able to give you a little bit of length, and you might need that because with our good friend in Randy Vasquez, he just has not had a lot of success at the big league level. Meanwhile, for the Cubs, though they have been a little bit rough in the bullpen with missing someone like a Julia Merriweather right now, they still have had Mark Leiter Jr. be able to do a solid job holding down the fort. Yancy Almonte's a little bit of a roll of the dice, but Edgar Alzolay, even though he's had a little bit of a rough go of it this year. I do think that he's going to be able to figure it out moving forward. And I do think that Imanaga going to continue to be a dominator against a team that just is not hitting lefties. So at a 9 or less right now, looking at the over 9.5 or higher to the under, keep in mind, subject to the changing conditions. And with the Cubs at a plus 105 or higher, I'd be willing to lay a run and a half here, set them at a minus 178 on the money line. So need at least a plus 179 to take a shot on the Padres. 9-5, 9-6 on the betting board. The New York Mets hit the road to facing off against the St. Louis Cardinals as Miles Michaelis goes for the Cards, and Jose Buto is on the bump for the Mets. Total on this game is 8. The over and under are both at minus 110. With the Cardinals, they're between minus 115 to minus 125 favorites. Meanwhile, they're between plus 105 to plus 108 is that number on the Mets. So the Mets at a minus 114. I'm going to be willing to roll with them on the money line. Fully recognize that Miles Michaelis, if you look at the fielding independent numbers, are better than his ERA. This guy just gives up hard contact upon hard contact, though. 5.68 ERA. He's given up about a home run and a half per nine innings. To his credit, he only gives up about a walk and a half per nine, but he doesn't get any swings and misses at all going against someone in Mr. Jose Buto that you'd like to see him tame down the walks. He's given up a little bit north of 4.5 walks per nine innings, but 10 strikeouts per nine innings has been very good recently. He has given up 2 runs or fewer in all but one of his starts this far this season. Has lent good length, 5 2/3 innings or fewer in all but one of his starts. That helps out a Mets bullpen that has honestly been very good. Entering into the day on Monday, a top 5 team in terms of bullpen ERA. Jake Diekman has been a little bit up and down, but Reed Garrett, Sean Reed Foley have come in and they've held down the fort. They bring in Cole Sulzer, who he's had a relatively rough go of it thus far this season, but I still remember a few years ago with the Orioles in 2021. He was relatively solid. You got Edwin Diaz back at the closer spot. And for St. Louis, this has been about a league average bullpen. You got a few guys like Giovanni Gallegos that is not really living up to his billing. Kyle Leahy, someone that you've got question marks with. But Andrew Kittredge, who comes in from the Rays, he's been very good. Ryan Ellsley is a former All-Star that has been quite solid thus far this season. And the Cardinals are going to need every single bit of help that they can get because Michaelis has not been good. And for the St. Louis Cardinals lineup, man, has it been rough to say the least. As they are currently in the bottom 8 in the big leagues with regards to runs per game, and the young guys just have not developed. Brandon Donovan, Ivan Herrera, Lars Nootbaar, throwing their Jordan Walker is currently at the AAA level. You're able to go down the list of these guys. They're hitting at 215 or lower. Paul Goldschmidt is hitting at 208 with 2 home runs. Like Nolan Arenado's moved the line, but he's only giving you 2 home runs. They had one guy in the starting lineup yesterday, Wilson Contreras, with a worth of 3 home runs this year, and Contreras has been solid, but oh no, that's been rough. And for the Mets, this team is all over the place in terms of their offense as well. As Francisco Lindor, along with Pete Alonso, both entered in the day yesterday, hitting right around about a 210. Both are giving you a combined 14 home runs, but they're not moving the line consistently. Perhaps J.D. Martinez coming back in the fold. That'll be able to help this thing out, but that's Jeff McNeil, along with Brandon Nimmo, Tomas Nito, really the entirety of the catcher spot. They're all hitting at 231 or lower, so that's been a tad bit of an issue. I do think the Buto is going to be able to come in and hold down the fort, but I do think that this is exactly what the Mets need to be able to get back online, going up against guy Michaelis that has not been tremendous, to say the least. I did set my total at 8.6. I do think that Buto is going to see a little bit of regression with those walks. So looking at the over, and with the Mets, made them the favorite, so taking plus money on them on the money line. Now we have my DK Network write-up pick. This is 907-908 on the betting board. The Colorado Rockies, they play OC San Francisco Giants as Kyle Harrison is on the bump for the Giants, and you've got Dakota Hudson who's going to be going for the Colorado Rockies. The Rockies, who find themselves as underdogs of anywhere between plus 130 to plus 138, minus 150 to minus 155 is that number on San Francisco. If you're looking to lay a run at, by the way, with the San Francisco Giants, you're going to be getting that at a minus 102, and total on this game is 10.5, over and under both at minus 110. Right up here is going to be on the over. I fully recognize that this Rockies team has stunk on ice on offense. They are 26th in the big leagues with regards to runs per game. Even at home, they're averaging 4.2 runs per game thus far this season, but Kyle Harrison has some very alarming home and road splits, and going up to elevation after the team had to play an afternoon game on Monday, I don't think that that's necessarily very ideal. As for Kyle Harrison, he has been a dominator when he's been in San Francisco. 10.5 strikeouts, 0.7 home runs per 9 innings in his 7 career starts, owning a 2.97 ERA in San Francisco. Good numbers on the road. This goes to a 4.95 ERA with 7.4 strikeouts and 2.5 home runs allowed per 9 innings. Even more alarming than that, Dakota Hudson and what he's done at home. He's made 3 starts as a Colorado Rocky at Coors, 13 1/3 innings between these 3 starts with an 8.78 ERA, and this guy just I've never understood why anyone gives this guy starts. He's getting 5.3 strikeouts of 5 walks per 9 innings. Literally, all Dakota Hudson does is he tries to not give up home runs, and that's his entire game. He doesn't get strikeouts. He gives up a lot of walks. Like, I just don't get it with him, and he's backed up by a bullpen that is absolutely terrible. Really, both of these teams are in the bottom 5 of the big leagues with regards to their bullpen ERA, with the San Francisco Giants trotting out there a young rookie in his first start yesterday and not being able to get 5 full innings out of him. That means that their bullpen is all the more cooked, and for the Colorado Rockies, the likes of Justin Lawrence, Anthony Molina, posting up an ERA that is north of 6. That's not too terrific. Victor Vodnik has been relatively solid, and I will say, for the Colorado Rockies, they've always got demonstrative home and road splits, and they had a 222 as a collective when they are away from home, more around about a 251 when they are at home. You've got the likes of Elias Diaz, along with Ryan McMahon, hitting north of a 300. Brendan Doyle, he's able to give you about a 325 on base. Not a lot of power out of these guys. Ryan McMahon right now leading the way with 5 home runs, but I do think that they're going to be able to get to the Giants, and I certainly do think that the Giants get to Dakota Hudson and company, even though they've been a little bit over the place. You've got Michael Conforto, Ore Soler, Matt Chapman, all with between 4 and 5 home runs thus far this season. And for Conforto, he jungled the Therio Estrada, all in between about a 248 to a 252. Would like to see them draw a few more walks. None of these guys have north of the 305 on base, but got Patrick Bailey with a 345 on base, Lamont Wade Jr. hitting about a 350 as well, and with both of these teams posting up north of a 5 ERA going into the day on Monday, both of these starters really showing some bad home and road splits. I do think that you get quite a few runs, and part of the reason why we see low run scoring here in Colorado to begin the season is because we were seeing some colder conditions, and I think that we had a snowout once as well. So I did set the Giants on the money line at a minus 144. It's a circumstance where I'm seeing a minus 146 out there. If we can get this down a few more pennies, I'd be willing to roll with them. Would need at least a plus 144 to be able to take a shot on Colorado. And if you're looking at that run line, by the way, if we could get the Colorado Rockies more like a minus 110, I'd be willing to take a run out there. So a little bit wait and see mode, but I'm thinking we should be able to get a minus 144 when it's all said and done on the Giants. But right a pick here, that's on the over. Semi total 11.2. So even at an 11, I'd be looking at the over 909, 910 on the betting board. The Miami Marlins, they're facing off against the LA Dodgers as Yoshinobu Yamamoto is on the bump for the Dodgers. Edward Cabrera is on the bump for Miami. It is the total overs minus 115, the unders minus 105, with the Dodgers being between minus $3 and minus $3.25. Between plus $2.60 and plus $2.65 is your number on Miami. And if you're looking at the Dodgers run line price, that is anywhere between minus 142 to minus 145 to lay a run and a half. And this is a spot where I'm going to be willing to take a shot on the Miami Marlins. I was willing to take a plus 252 or higher. And for the Miami Marlins, this team is rough. They are now without Luis Ariz. They have Brian De La Cruz, who's been able to give you about 5 home runs this season. He's been able to give you a 265 average, but I believe that he was the only guy in the starting lineup other than Vidal Brujan yesterday that was hitting above a 244 leaving the game. But for the Dodgers, they're going to have their hands full with Edward Cabrera, who's been able to do a nice job of being able to get swings and misses over the last 2 seasons. Now, with Edward Cabrera, he is wild. He last year was giving out about 6 walks per 9 innings, has dialed it back a little bit this year, but still is at about 4.5 walks per 9 innings. But he's also got 30 strikeouts and 19 and a third innings as some of the best raw stuff that you're going to find. He has given up 2 home runs in 19 and a third innings as far this season, and he certainly has been not supported very well out there in the field. He's got north of a 5 ERA, but I do think that he has a chance to be able to stymie an LA Dodgers lineup that 1 through 7 is essentially the death stars. Andy Bajas has really been able to step up. He's been able to give them a little bit more, and then you've obviously got Will Smith, Freddie Freeman, Mookie Betts, Shohei Ohtani. I'll give you at least a 385 on base. In the case of Ohtani, he's up to 11 bombs. Mookie Betts has been able to hit the deep ball as well, as he's been able to supply, I believe, now 6 of them. You've been able to have Max Muncy be able to come to the forefront for this team as well. So you just go down the list. Those front 7 with Teoscar Hernandez also going yard, that's big. But you do get a little bit of a break with Gavin Lux, Chris Taylor, James Altman at the bottom of the fold. And for the LA Dodgers, this is a bullpen that had to be used up quite a bit yesterday. They had only 4 innings from Walker Buehler, which you sort of expected that he was not going to be going deep for the Dodgers. Are in the upper half of the league in terms of bullpen ERA, but guys like Alex Vesia, Gus Varland, Nabel Crismet, they're not necessarily super locked down guys. I love what they're getting out of Evan Phillips, their main closer, but I believe that he's now out of the fold. He's dealing with a little bit of an injury. And for the Miami Marlins, I do think that some of these guys that were so good for them a season ago, like George Soriano, like Tanner Scott, Andrew Nardi, these guys that posted up a sub-3.5 ERA, they're going to be able to pick it up a little bit, as all 3 of these guys are having a pretty miserable year thus far. I do think that for the Miami Marlins, they're going to have a little bit of a tough time scoring off of Yoshinobu Yamamoto, who's been just absolutely tremendous. If you take out that start in South Korea, he's posting up more like a .175 ERA, has not really been giving up the deep ball, has been able to give you about 11 punch outs per 9 innings. But I think that Edward Cabrera goes out there, shoves a relatively good start here. So I did set my total at an 8.3. Here at the 8th, it's opened up at an 8.5. I'm going to be taking a look at the over. I do think that for Miami, they're going to be able to get to Yamamoto just a little bit and into that bullpen. And again, I don't think that the Miami Marlins should be like in a pick'em game here or anything like that, but getting the big plus number that we are, anything north of a plus 252, I'm going to be willing to take a shot on Edward Cabrera. So going to be taking a look at the fish on the money line and this total over. 9-11, 9-12 on the betting board. It's the Texas Rangers on the road facing off against the Oakland A's as Ross Stripling goes for the A's. It is old undecided who's going to be on the bump for Texas. So this is a game that is presently off the board, and according to Fangraphs, we're going to be getting Jack Leiter. Now, that is completely unconfirmed. I was just reading the Fangraphs page as to their projection, but if you do indeed get Jack Leiter against Ross Stripling, I'd be setting the Rangers as a -118 favorite, and I'd be making this total an 8. So, 8 or less looking at the over, 8.5 or higher to the under, and with the Rangers, we'll be willing to lay up to a -117 there. +118 or higher, I'd be looking at Oakland. Ross Stripling has been far from amazing. As a matter of fact, he got his first big league win, I believe, in a little bit over a year in his last start. But you know what? He's able to hold down the fort, and this ballpark is perfect for him. He's given up 3 home runs in 40 and a third innings. Has always been a relative pitcher contact guy, and he's shown that off thus far this season. He's only getting in the neighborhood about six and a half strikeouts per 9 innings. Has been giving up a lot of general contact, but doesn't put guys on cheaply. He's only giving up about 1.9 to 2 walks per 9 innings. Going up against a Rangers bunch, it does look like they're finding their offense a little bit more, but it's been a little bit of a rough run for many of these guys. Now you've got Wyatt Langford on the injured list, the likes of Leody Taveras, Evan Carter, Corey Seager, hitting below a .235 entering the series. Less than ideal, and the struggles for Seager have been very, very real thus far this season. Granted, it is still better than the Oakland offense, who they were averaging 3 runs per game at home before that 20-run outburst against the Miami Marlins. I do think that they're going to be coming back to earth, and I do think that that is going to be making their offense look a little bit more impressive than what it is. But now you've got Tyler Nevin, Abraham Toro, both hitting north of a .270. Esteri Ruiz is honestly one of the best base dealers that you're going to find in all of baseball, and been able to get a little bit of power with Shea Bangs, Langeliers, along with Brent Rooker, both giving you 7-plus home runs thus far this season. But for Texas, I do think that they're going to be able to find a little bit more in terms of their bats, and you have seen the Oakland A's start to stumble a little bit with their bullpen. Yesterday, you saw that bullpen give up 3 earned runs, 4 runs in total, though you still have a lot of guys that have been pretty impressive. Danny Menes, Lucas Ursich, now they're up to having north of 3.5 ERAs, but they're still below 4. You've got a lot of guys like Kyle Mueller, the closer, and Mason Miller, along with Austin Adams, who will be able to supply a sub-3 ERA of their own, and they still outgun the Texas Rangers, who did have to trot out there some more trustworthy relievers like David Robertson, Kirby Yates. Yesterday, both of these guys threw 13-plus pitches, so I do like what Jordan Lyons and Jonathan Hernandez are able to provide in the bullpen as well, and with Jack Leiter in his first start against the Detroit Tigers. He got completely lit up, was a very good pitcher over at Vanderbilt. He has been able to show the good swing and miss stuff at the minor league level, so if he does indeed get called up for this start, I'd be willing to set the Rangers at a -117 or less, +119 or more. We'll be looking at the A's. 8 or less, I'd be looking at the over, 8.5 or higher to the under. And if you do get a bullpen game, probably relatively similar numbers. Honestly, I'd probably set the Rangers as a very, very small, slight, bigger favorite if you do get a bullpen game, just because with Jack Leiter, does a little need a little bit more seasoning, but that's where we're looking at there in a TBD spot. 9-13, 9-14 on the betting board. The Detroit Tigers hit the road. They're facing off against the Cleveland Guardians. Logan Allen goes for the Guardians, and Kenta Maeda is on the bump for Detroit. Detroit is a underdog anywhere between +105 to +112. Meanwhile, between -118 to -125 is that number on the Guardians. 8.5 is the total. Over and under are both at -110. And for Detroit, I did set them as a underdog of +147. So I'm going to be willing to lay with the Guardians. Kenta Maeda, over his last few starts, has looked quite a bit better. But I feel like this is just a little bit too much respect for both he and the Detroit Tigers against Cleveland Guardians team as by far the better offense. And for Kenta Maeda, he's got a 5.02 ERA, but his fielding independent is honestly even worse at north of a 6. He's giving up 2.5 home runs per 9 innings while only getting 7 strikeouts per 9 innings. Kenta Maeda, throughout his career, has always been a north of 9 strikeouts per 9 inning guy. I have to wonder if there's some sort of an injury that is lingering right now, because he has not been terrific at being able to get guys to be able to chase in That is a big issue. Now, the good news for the Detroit Tigers is that they do back him up with one of the better bullpens out there in the big leagues, but you're able to say that for both of these teams. The Cleveland Guardians enter into the series, one of the creme de la creme bullpens at number 2 in the big leagues in terms of ERA. The Detroit Tigers, number 5 in the league. As for the Cleveland Guardians, they've got, in my opinion, the better closer in Emmanuel Clase, who's able to lock it down. Other than Tyler Beede, who I believe has been sent to the minor league level, pretty much all these guys in that bullpen. Cade Smith, when he's been healthy, Eli Morgan, he's dealing with an injury, Nick Sandlin, Hunter Gaddis, these guys have all been relatively solid. And for Detroit, you've seen a little bit of a, shall we say, downfall with Will Vest, but likes of Alex Fiedo, Jason Foley, Tyler Holton, these are guys that have been absolutely tremendous for the Detroit Tigers. But the Tigers' offense leaves a whole heck of a lot of something to be desired. As a matter of fact, they have scored 3 runs or fewer now in each of their last 4 games, has been able to get some good production out of Riley Green. He's supplying 9 home runs. He's been able to give you about a .390 on base. And Mark Canna, yes, he can give you about a .370 on base as well. But these guys like Javi Baez, Colt Keith, Parker Meadows, you're able to throw in there Jake Rogers. They're all hitting below the Mendoza line of 200. They've dealt with having in and out of the fold G.R. Urshela. When he's been out there, he's been able to do a solid job. But, I mean, for Spencer Torkelson, he's still stuck on 0 home runs with hitting about a .217. It's been a miserable start to the season for him. And for the Cleveland Guardians, Stephen Kwan does a really nice job of setting the table at the top. He's been able to supply north of a 400 on base, 3 home runs. He's been able to up that power in. The Guardians as a whole, they've been able to just give you some better power numbers. They're averaging about a home run per game. After last year, they were dead sinking last in the big leagues with regards to their home run firepower. Now, you still have the likes of Brian Roscio, Tyler Freeman, throwing their Bo Naylor. These are guys hitting at .210 or lower, but Naylor's brother and Josh Naylor, boy, has he been Naylor-ing the ball. 8 home runs, he's able to give you a .360 on base. And for Jose Ramirez, while the average is down, he has been able to supply 7 home runs this far this season. I do think that for the Cleveland Guardians, they're going to be able to do a nice job in the spot, as they have been able to just pound lefties all season long. Against righties, it's been a little bit more of a roll of the dice, but I think this righty in Maeda is going to be giving up quite a bit, and I do think that Logan Allen is going to be able to find himself a little bit more as well. For Logan Allen, it's been a relatively rough start to the season for him as well. As bad as Kenta Maeda has been, you've got Logan Allen, who's got a relatively similar ERA at a 5.11. He's given up 7 home runs in 37 innings, but he gives you a little bit more swing and miss. He's been giving out about 3 walks per 9 innings, but I do think that Logan Allen going to be able to find it a little bit more here, so I'm going to be willing to lay with the Cleveland Guardians, set them at a -147, and did set my total at an 8.8. I do think that both of these starters are going to struggle a little bit, and I do think that the Tigers start to pick it up just a touch with their offense. So looking at the over and the money line of the Guardians, 9.15, 9.16 on the betting board, the Tampa Bay Rays play as the Chicago White Sox. Mike Soroka goes for the Sox, and Zach Eflin is on the bump for Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay, anywhere between -230 to -245 favorites, between +$2 and +211 is your number on the White Sox. 8 is the total, over and under, anywhere between -108 to -112. And if you're looking to lay a run and a half with the Tampa Bay Rays, you're going to be getting that anywhere between about -112 to a -115. And I'm willing to go up to a -115 on this Rays run line. Wouldn't want to go any further, as the White Sox are starting to show a little bit more of a pulse, but I just really don't want any part of Mike Soroka. And it's so sad, because Mike Soroka, a few years ago, prior to all the injuries, he was looking like a good young prospect in the Atlanta Braves organization. It was looking like he was going to be a part of those guys like Max Fried and company that were going to be able to come up and be able to completely dominate. And well, this series getting completely dominated. 6.48 ERA, and somehow, some way, his fielding independent is even worse at a 6.73, giving up more walks than he's getting strikeouts. 5.1 walks to 4.3 strikeouts per 9 innings, while surrendering true home runs per 9 innings. And it feels like the Tampa Bay Rays have finally busted out of their funk in terms of bats. Last 3 days against the Mets, and then game 1 against the Chicago White Sox yesterday, this team has really been able to put bat to balls. Randy Arozarena has been pretty miserable thus far this season, hitting below a .175, below a .275 in terms of his on base, but feels like he's starting to heat up. Isak Paredes has been carrying the team. 7 home runs this far this season with a .375 on base. Yandy Diaz still need a little bit more than a .297 on base, but he's starting to find it. Errol Ramirez, Jericho Abreu, Richie Palacios all hitting at least a .265. That's been big for the Rays. And Ben Roethlisberger at the catcher spot, after he was awful with the Yankees last season, he's been able to give you a little bit more as well. And for the Chicago White Sox, though, you've been able to get a little bit of an injection of life with Gavin Sheets giving you about a .360 on base. And then also you've had Tommy Pham come up, and he's actually been able to do a nice job of being a reach base, hitting about a 280. This is still a lineup that features all these guys are hitting a 211 or lower. Nicky Lopez, Robbie Grossman, Andrew Vaughn, Andrew Benintendi, Dom Fletcher. You're able to throw in there Martin Maldonado, Lennon Sosa. I mean, it is just a bunch of guys that are giving you a big giant nothing burger. And for the White Sox, they are by far dead last in the big leagues in terms of home runs per game as well. And for the White Sox, what was really going for them towards the beginning part of the season is that while their bullpen wasn't amazing, it wasn't necessarily the world's worst bullpen out there in the league. And now that has been going downward as well. For the Chicago White Sox, they're now in the bottom eight in the big leagues in terms of bullpen ERA. Jordan Leisure has been able to do a relatively solid job for this unit, but I mean, past that, you've got Michael Kopech, who has been really giving up the deep ball quite a bit. You have not been able to get great performances as well out of one of these guys that they rolled the dice on, like Tanner Banks and company, and well, that has been not great to say the least. And for the Tampa Bay Rays, this team has been in the bottom five in the big leagues with regards to their bullpen ERA as well, but you do have that feeling that things are starting to come on. They're starting to pitch a little bit better in that bullpen with the likes of a Kevin Kelly, Jason Adam being able to give you a sub-3 ERA, been able to get some good production as well recently out of John Armstrong. So these are guys that are encouraging. You're going to need to get a bit more, though, out of the likes of Manuel Rodriguez, Phil Maton and company. But for the Chicago White Sox, they really just don't instill any sort of fear whatsoever into a starting pitcher. And for Zach Eflin, pretty Eflin good at being able to locate. 41 innings and just 4 walks as far this season. He has been giving up a little bit more contact than he did a season ago. He's up to about a 4.17 ERA. Fielding independent is far lower than that. He's given up about 1.3 home runs per 9 innings, but all in all, he's been able to hold down the fort with 3 runs or fewer surrendered in 3 of his last 4 starts. I think that he does a solid job here against the White Sox, and I do think that they take it to Mike Soroka. So, going to be looking to lay the run line of the Rays, willing to go up to a -115, and did set my total at an 8.1. So, going to be taking a look at that Rays run line, and there's his total on the 8, going to be going over. 9.17, 9.18 on the betting board. The New York Yankees do playoffs to the Houston Astros. Justin Verlander is on the bump for the Astros, and Luis Eel is on the bump for the Yankees. Yankees find themselves as favorites, anywhere between -116 to a -123. Meanwhile, +106 to +113 is your number on Houston. 8 is the total. Over is between -110 to -125. The under is anywhere between -110 to a +105. And for the Yankees, I set them at a -114 on the money line. If you're looking to lay a run half with them, you're going to be finding that number between about a +170 to a +175. And this is a circumstance where if we can get a little bit north of a +170 to lay a run half, the +175 that I'm seeing right now, I'd be looking there. Would much rather lay about a -114, -113 or so on the money line, but in some form or capacity, I'm going to be in on the New York Yankees. Recognize that the Houston Astros should see a little bit of positive regression. They're 12-22 thus far this season, and for the Houston Astros, they have just been snake bitten in one-run games. You have to feel like they are not going to be going 1-9 in one-run games for the entirety of the season, 1-4 in games that go to extra innings. Their expected win-loss is quite a bit higher than their 12-22 record as of right now, but they have to go up against a guy in Luis Eel who he's the ultimate feast or famine pitcher in that he gives out well north of 5 walks per 9 innings. As a matter of fact, it's closer to 6 walks per 9 innings, but he's got great wipeout stuff. He's been able to provide 11 punchouts per 9 innings. He's given up just 2 home runs in 31 innings. He's pretty unhittable, but he's also hard to be able to locate even for himself. Meanwhile, for Justin Verlander, he's done a nice job holding down the fourth thus far this season. 4 runs surrendered in 17 and a third innings across his 3 starts. I just feel like we're going to see this go northward, though. He's got just 13 strikeouts in 17 and a third innings. His strand rate has been very high thus far this season. He's given up 7 walks in those 17 and a third innings as well. He has not pitched as well as his numbers and his name would indicate. And for the Houston Astros, this bullpen has been rough, to say the least. Well, they have to go up against the number one team in terms of bullpen ERA in the New York Yankees. As for the Houston Astros, Josh Hader, along with Ryan Presley, have been absolutely miserable in the bullpen thus far this season. Both of these guys rocking north of a 5 ERA. Taylor Scott has honestly been, along with Rafael Montero, actually your better bullpen pieces thus far. Sean Dubin is a guy that I have absolutely no faith in whatsoever. And for the New York Yankees, the likes of Ron Bennanaccio, Ian Hamilton, these guys have been rock solid. They pick up Victor Gonzalez from the Dodgers. He's posting up a sub-3 ERA. Caleb Ferguson, after a rough start to the season, he's been good. And for the New York Yankees, while this is still a little bit of an all-or-nothing lineup, Juan Soto has been just tremendous. 8 home runs. He's giving you well north of a 420 on base. Does feel like Aaron Judge is starting to pick it up a little bit. He's still been hitting just a 220 thus far this season, but he's got a 350 on base with 7 home runs thus far this season. You expect that to go northward a little bit, and I mean, right now he's starting to find it. You've got Oswaldo Cabrera, Anthony Volpe, both hitting right around 250. Cool down from the start of the season, but they're starting to be able to find their footing, and they've been able to contribute in this lineup, unlike a season going for the Houston Astros. It's not the lineup that's the issue. I mean, at the top, you've got Kyle Tucker, Jose Altuve, Yordan Alvarez, all between 7 and 9 home runs. Would like to see the on-base percentage for Alvarez be a little bit higher than a 327, but in the case of Altuve and Kyle Tucker, both giving you north of a 390 on-base, you need Alex Bregman to pick it up. One home run and a 202 average. He just always struggles at the beginning of years. I have no idea what it is, and for Jose Abreu, he's pretty much been relegated out of the fold for this team, which is not a bad thing, because the likes of John Singleton, Mauricio Dubon, and company have been much better at being able to move the line. But for the Houston Astros, I just feel like Justin Verlander is doing for a little bit of a rough go of it. I do think that he's going to start to give up some runs. And for Luis Gil, the location is a little bit of an issue. Even if he doesn't give up a ton of runs, it's a case where he might knock himself out early with a walk. So I did set my total at 8.6. I'm going to be looking at the over in this spot. And with the Yankees, at the current numbers, I'd be looking to lay a run half at a plus 175. Would rather lay more like a minus 112, minus 114 or so on the money line. So let's wait and see there as to money line or run line, but we'll be in on the Yankees to go along this total over. 919, 920 on the betting board. The Minnesota Twins play as the Seattle Mariners. Emerson Hancock is on the bump for Seattle, and Bailey Ober is on the bump for Minnesota. Minnesota does find themselves as a favorite of any routine, minus 135 to minus 142. And between plus 120 to plus 128 is that number on Seattle. It is the total. The over is between minus 110 to a minus 120. The under is any between even and minus 110. And the circumstance where I did set the Mariners at a plus 106. I'm going to be willing to take that plus number for the Seattle Mariners. They've had their starting pitcher go and give up 2 earned runs or less in 22 out of their last 23 starts. Emerson Hancock, probably the least trustworthy of these starters at this point, but even he has been able to do a very solid job recently. He's now given up either 1 or 2 runs in each out of his last 4 starts, and he did give up 4 walks in his last start against the Atlanta Braves, but all in all, his command has been relatively good. He is giving up less than 2.8 walks per 9 innings. The strikeout stuff isn't quite there with him. He's only been able to get about 7.5 strikeouts per 9 innings, but he's been able to do a nice job holding down the fort. Has given up just 2 home runs in his last 4 starts. He has been absolutely superb for this bunch, and for Seattle, by the way, in case you're wondering who they've all been playing up against. They had a series against the Atlanta Braves, they had a series against the Houston Astros, currently they're playing the Twins, so they played some good top flight competition. And for the Twins, though, they're 20-14 right now. Keep in mind that 11 game win streak that they had, 7 of those games were against the Chicago White Sox, and they had a series against the LA Angels, so that's something to keep in mind, as I feel like that's really propping up their numbers as of right now. And for the Minnesota Twins, they've been able to get a little bit more online with regards to bats, but self-rights. Lewis out of the fold. Byron Buxton is currently dealing with an injury. Fat Alex Kirilloff do a relatively solid job of being able to find a way on base. He's now been able to hit about a 235 after he was relatively rough to begin the season, but it's all about Ryan Jeffers along with Willie Castro, Jose Miranda, a north of a 270 for the team. Past that, you haven't necessarily been able to get a lot of production, sans Trevor Larnach, but for Larnach, I need a little bit more of a sample size here. He's seen 46 at-bats. He's been able to hit right around about a 348 with a pair of home runs, which is very encouraging, but he's been a little bit in and out of the fold this season, so that's a bit of an issue. Now, what is for real about the Minnesota Twins? This bullpen. They're a top 5 team in the big leagues with regards to their bullpen in ERA. They get Yoan Duran back in the fold. You've got Griffin Jacks, Jorge Alcala, Cole Sands, Cody Funderburk. These guys give you a sub 3.5 ERA. Problem is, the Seattle Mariners have one of the best bullpens in the big leagues as well, and they have just plucked so many guys out of just being, shall we say, irrelevant, and they've been able to turn them into relatively good relievers. You've got the likes of Gabe Spire, Trent Thornton, Tyson Miller, Cody Bolton, all these guys give you a sub 250 ERA. Heck, they've looked at Brett Guice from time to time, who's currently out of the fold. He's posted up a sub 3 ERA, and then Andres Munoz is one of the best just blow-away closers that you're going to find in the big leagues. Now, for the Seattle Mariners, the offense has been a little bit of a struggle for this team. They're in the bottom half of the big leagues with regards to runs per game, but keep in mind, for Seattle last season, they actually scored in the top 5 in terms of runs per game away from home. They were relatively pedestrian at home. That's because Seattle is very much a pitcher's ballpark, but You're starting to get guys on base a little bit more for this team. Julio Rodriguez needs to provide more in terms of power. Just one home run thus far this season, but he's now hitting about a 255. Ty France, he's sitting in that 250 range as well. And Josh Rojas, three home runs, north of 400 on base. He's come up very big. Cal Raleigh, you'd like to see the average be a little bit higher than a 206, but he's been able to supply five home runs. And for Jorge Polanco, it's been a relatively miserable start to the season for him, but despite hitting a buck 95, he's been able to give you five home runs. And if you look at the last 14 days, he's been able to get a little bit more online as well. I do think that for the Seattle Mariners, are going to be able to get to a guy in Bailey Ober. If you look at the raw numbers, they're pretty solid. He's only given up about two walks to about nine strikeouts per nine innings over the last year plus. He had that one just terrible outing to begin the season against Kansas City Royals, and ever since then, he's been pretty locked down. He gave up eight runs and got four outs in that start. Past that, he has been able to do a relatively solid job, giving up the four runs in his last start against the Chicago White Sox, but prior to that, had given up four total runs in his previous four starts. And if you take that disaster out of the fold, he's pretty much given up, I believe, eight runs over the course of his last five starts. So he's been able to do a nice job being able to hold down the fort, but it is a circumstance where I do think that the Mariners, their pitching is going to be able to get them to victory in this one at a plus 107 or higher. Looking at the money line of Seattle, I did set my total at 7.9. I do think that you get another pitcher's duel, so like the under, and I do like Seattle on the money line. 921, 922 on the betting board. The LA Angels hit the road to face off against the Pittsburgh Pirates. Quinn Brewster is on the bump for the Buccos, and Patrick Sandoval is on the bump for the Halos. Angels in between plus 107, plus 116 underdogs. Meanwhile, between minus 125 to minus 130, seeing as low as minus 117. That's your number on the Pirates. Total on this game is 8 in most spots. On the 8, over between minus 120 to a minus 130. The under is between even at plus 110. Seeing an 8.5 at DraftKings, over and under both at minus 110. And I'm going to be willing to go with the over. I did set my total at an 8.7. And I'm just in full-on fade Quinn Pricer mode. Any sort of a plus number was a take for me on the Angels. I set my number at a minus 102 on the Pittsburgh Pirates, but for Pricer, does he give you reason to be excited at the minor league level? Yeah, he's been able to do a relatively solid job in terms of being able to develop some pitches at the lower level. I need to see it to believe it at the big league level, as he has gotten three starts as far this season, posting up a 3.31 ERA, but the fielding independent is a 6.89. When he had a 7.74 ERA at the big league level a season ago, his fielding independent was honestly lower than it is right now. He's getting six strikeouts at 3.3 walks per nine innings. He's given up five home runs at 16 and a third innings. He should be thanking his lucky stars that his ERA is not above a six right now. Meanwhile, for Patrick Sandoval, he's always been good at being able to mitigate hard contact, and go figure, he right now is a 5.91 ERA. He's given up two home runs in 32 innings. Granted, he's given up a lot of contact in general, though the swing and miss stuff, even for Sandoval, it is way up. He's been just very, very unlucky on balls in play. Meanwhile, Quinn Pricer, in his very small sample size thus far, has been very fortunate on the balls in play. As for Patrick Sandoval, 3.19 fielding independent to go along with a 5.91 ERA. We should see some positivity coming for him, as the batting average on balls in play against Patrick Sandoval right now is a 3.96. That's just absolutely incredible. So, yeah, that is going to be coming downward, especially against the Pittsburgh Pirates team that they've had a tough time hitting all season long. This team is hitting at 225 as a collective. O'Neill Cruz is starting to get his act together. He's up to five home runs, hitting about a 245. It's he, Cabrian Hayes, Brian Reynolds are all in that neighborhood between a 242, 250 average, though. For Hayes and Reynolds, both providing north of a 330 on base. Connor Joe has been able to give you about a 360 on base as well, but likes of Rowdy Tellez, Jack Swinisky, throwing there Andrew McCutchen, these guys hitting a 215 or lower. That's been rough at all. Varus is only hitting a 220, so the Pirates just have not been able to really put bat to ball this far this season. And for the LA Angels, as we know, they're dealing with the injury to Mike Trout, so that's been relatively rough for them. But Taylor Ward has been able to do a nice job holding it down for this offense. He's been able to give you seven home runs. He's hitting about a 270. You've got Willie Calhoun who's come in. It's a small sample size, but he's been able to give you about a 375 average. The biggest thing is these young guns like Mickey Moniak, along with Noah Chenal, Zach Neto, you need to get a little bit more out of these guys, as these are all guys hitting a 240 or lower. They're not really giving you a lot in terms of an on-base percentage. Joe Adell has been able to set a little bit of fire to the rain, and for the LA Angels, this bullpen has been rough. They're currently in the bottom seven in the big leagues with regards to bullpen ERA. They've currently got Jose Cicerone out of the fold, but they've got plenty of reclamation projects in Amir Garrett, Hunter Strickland, Adam Simber, washed-up veterans that you don't want in your bullpen, though Matt Moore, Carlos Acevedo have been relatively solid, but for the Pirates, this team has been well below average with regards to their bullpen ERA as well. Roaldis Chapman, David Bednar are both up north of a 4.75 ERA. Ryan Borucki out of the fold has been earning this team. You've had Colin Holderman live up to that name. He's been able to give you a sub-3 ERA. I like Hunter Stratton and what he's able to bring to the table, but that said, with with Quinn Pricer. I just need to see a little bit more from him. Recognize that his last two starts have been solid, but he has been very, very fortunate to not post up north of a 5 ERA, and I do think that the Angels get to him here. Did set my total at an 8.7. I like the over, and I like the Angels on the money line at any sort of a plus number. 923, 924 on the betting board. The Toronto Blue Jays hit the road. They're facing off against the Philadelphia Phillies. Christopher Sanchez is on the bump for the Phillies, and Jose Barrios is on the bump for Toronto, and Toronto is an underdog between plus 114 to plus 122. Meanwhile, any between minus 125 to a minus 135. So your number on the Phillies, 8 to 8.5 is the total. On the 8.5, over and under, both at minus 110. On the 8, the over is minus 115, and the under is minus 105. I did set my total at some point, and I'm going to be looking at the under. The Blue Jays just have not been able to develop any of their young players into being just fortified, strong hitters in general. For this Toronto Blue Jays team, they're averaging about 3.8 runs per game away from home, which is sadly more than 3.5 runs per game that they're averaging at home. The ballpark dimensions were supposed to help out their offense, and they've actually hurt them. But for the Toronto Blue Jays, what they've had is Jose Barrios be absolutely tremendous thus far this season. .44 ERA now. Caution here, because his fielding independence north of a 4. Barrios, through his career, has always had an ERA about a point higher on the road rather than at home, but going back to last season, he's been able to really rectify that. He has been much more consistent at home rather than away from home. I'm a little bit concerned that he's giving up nearly 3 walks per 9 innings, and that he has been only getting right around about 6.5 strikeouts per 9, but I do like what I've seen thus far. And for Christopher Sanchez, I think that he's doing for a little bit of regression as well. He has been able to post up about 9 strikeouts per 9 innings, but after giving up just 1.4 walks per 9 innings a season ago, he's up to about 4 walks per 9 innings. And after giving up 1.4 home runs per 9 innings a season ago, he's given up just 1 thus far this season. He's been a little bit fortunate on the balls in play. Now for the Blue Jays, who's going to be able to put the ball in play to be able to put a little bit of sweat into the Philadelphia Phillies? Says you've got Dalton Varsho, who's been able to supply 6 home runs, about a 325 on base. Justin Turner, along with Vlad Guerrero Jr., both have 4 home runs. Both are giving you north of 340 on base. But likes of Bo Bichette, George Springer, Alejandro Kirk, Kevon Biggio, hitting at 205 or lower with no power. This has been absolutely killing this team. Meanwhile, for the Philadelphia Phillies, they are without Trey Turner down for what, but you've been able to have really good production out of Alec Bohm. He's hitting darn near 350 thus far this season. He's done a great job moving the line, providing 4 home runs. Kyle Schwarber is up to 9 home runs, and Bryce Harper is up to 8 this far this season. Now, these guys are really starting to get online. Still have had the likes of Johan Rojas when he's out there, struggle a little bit. Bryson Stott still hitting just a 235, but he's finding a way to be able to get on base. So the Phillies lineup seems to be getting their act together, and both of these teams have been rough in terms of their bullpen. Two teams are in the bottom 6 in the big leagues with regards to bullpen ERA. For the Blue Jays, I do think that they're going to be able to get better moving forward with Eric Swanson, a couple of Jordan Romano being out of the fold, though I was saying that 2 weeks ago as well, and it just feels like, as we were alluding to with Andrew Kaley, there's been a little bit of bullpen misuse with the team. After a season ago, he had a very good year from Tim Mesa. He's been posting up north of 5 ERA, so I do look for them to be able to fortify themselves. And for the Philadelphia Phillies, it's been a case where this bullpen has always struggled in the month of April. Now that we're getting to May, I do think that guys like Sir Anthony Dominguez, Jose Alvarado, they're going to be able to do a little bit better job. I think that Barrios is able to keep up what he's done to this point. I think that he's able to land a relatively good start. And I do think that the Blue Jays are going to continue to mire mediocrity on offense. So that's what my total is, 7.8. I'm looking at the under. Both the Blue Jays plus 114 or higher, willing to take that money line with them. 925, 926 on the main board. The Baltimore Orioles hit the road. They're facing off against the Washington Nationals. Trevor Williams is on the bump for the Nationals. Corbin Burns is on the bump for the Orioles. The Orioles find themselves as pretty much $2 favorites. Anywhere between minus $2 and minus $210 is your number on them. Plus 175 to a plus 185 is that number on Washington. 8 to 8.5 is your total on the 8. Over is minus 120. The under is even on the 8.5. Under is minus 115. The over is minus 105. And if you're willing to lay a run half with the Orioles, getting that anywhere between minus 120 to a minus 125. And I set the Orioles at a minus 192 on the money line, but on the run line was willing to go up to a minus 127. So I'm going to be looking at that Orioles run line. I think part of the reason why I'm a little bit higher on this Orioles run line is just because I look at the offensive numbers and I think that they're sustainable. And those offensive numbers have this team number one in the big leagues with regards to home runs. And I just love the overall depth that you've got with this Orioles team. Each other top 8 hitters in terms of total at-bats this season. So everyone that has seen at least 60 at-bats this far this season, they all have at least 5 home runs this far this season. I mean, it's very well spread out. You've got one guy that's leading the way in Gunnar Henderson with 10. All the other 7 hitters have between 4 and 5 home runs. So you don't have necessarily one, shall we say, surefired out. You don't have one guy that really doesn't knock the ball out of the yard out of the entire 9 that you've got in terms of this lineup, and got so many guys like Jordan Westberg, Adley Rutschman, Gunnar Henderson, Ryan Mountcastle, Colton Cowser, Ryan O'Hearn, all giving you at least a 335 on base. Like, these guys are all doing a good job moving the line. All but two of them have been able to hit, I believe, at least a 270 thus far this season. Meanwhile, for the Washington Nationals, they've been offensively challenged a little bit this season. C.J. Abrams has been tremendous. 7 home runs. He's giving you about a 350 on base. And Jesse Winker, Luis Garcia, both giving you north of 370 on base. That's encouraging, but the likes of Lane Thomas, Joey Meneses, Eddie Rosario, the currently injured Joey Gallo, Kiber Ruiz, these guys in a 220 or lower has been difficult, to say the least, for the Washington Nationals. You've had Jordan Weems not necessarily do the world's greatest job in the bullpen, but all in all, this has been a Washington Nationals bullpen that has been relatively league average. They're about 15th in the league in terms of bullpen ERA. Derek Law, Hunter Harvey, they're giving you a sub-3.5 ERA. Kyle Finnegan always gives me a little bit of pause, but he's been relatively solid in this bullpen as well. And for the Baltimore Orioles, the team has really been able to pick it up with their bullpen as well. Albert Schwartz is now becoming a little bit of a long guy for this team. Been able to have Yennier Cano along with Danny Kalum supply a sub-3.5 ERA. You got Craig Kimbrell, who's been really blowing quite a few saves, but feels like they haven't been putting him in as many high-leverage spots. They've been looking a little bit more to Jacob Webb. That's been working out very well for them as well, and I do think that for Corbin Burnes, he's going to be able to go out there and dominate once again. You'll even recall from his time with the Milwaukee Brewers over the last three seasons, he was posting up about a half a point better with his ERA when he was away from home rather than when he was at home. He's been able to be very rock-solid here for the Orioles this far this season. It's giving up about 1.3 home runs per 9 innings, but it's only supplying about 2 walks per 9 innings. He's getting 9 punch-outs per 9 innings. Swing himself has really been up at least 5 strikeouts in 4 of the last 5 starts. I think that he goes out there and blows past a Washington Nationals team that I feel like they've had some very good fortune when Trevor Williams has been out there on the field. For Trevor Williams, he's actually off to a really nice start. He's posting up a sub-3.5 ERA. I do think that we're going to see quite a bit of regression with a guy in Williams that has always been a relative big contact guy, and he has been that thus far this season. He's getting about 6.3 strikeouts to 3.4 walks per 9 innings. 2.27 ERA. Fielding independent is only a 2.90 because he has yet to give up a home run thus far this season, but if you look at what he did last season, he gave up 2 home runs for 9 innings. I do think that the Orioles get to him, wallop him pretty hard, so I'm going to be willing to lay the run half with the Orioles, and did set my total in an 8.2, so looking at the Orioles on the run line, and I do like this 8 over, 927, 928 on the bank board. The Atlanta Braves do play out to the Boston Red Sox. Cutter Crawford is on the bump for Boston, and Reynaldo Lopez is on the bump for the Atlanta Braves, and the Braves do find themselves as between minus 168 to minus 175 favorites, between plus 143 to plus 155. 5 is your number on Boston. 9 is the total. The under is between minus 110 to a minus 120. The over is anywhere between even and minus 110. And for the Atlanta Braves, I did set them as a favorite of minus 175. If you're looking to lay a run and a half, I needed at least a plus 105 to be able to take a stab there. Mostly seeing between plus 113 to a plus 118. I'm going to be willing to lay the run and a half. For Cutter Crawford, he was actually very good on the road last season. Last season with the Boston Red Sox, he posted up a 6 ERA at home, and he posted up on the road a more around 2.65 ERA, which I find to be very, very befuddling. These splits have come down a little bit this season, but for Cutter Crawford, he has been very good to begin the season. He's posting up a sub-2 ERA, though the fielding independent is a little bit higher than that. I just do fear that in general, with Cutter Crawford having given up just 1 home run thus far this season, and he's going to run into a Braves team that, well, I think that they're going to be able to find it sooner rather than later in terms of their firepower. As for the Braves, thus far this season, just 32 home runs in 32 games, with Marcell Ozuna being the main man with 10 home runs. The only other guy that has north of 3 home runs on the team is Travis Darno. You know that these guys are not going to be sitting down. It's been a rough start to the season for Matt Olson, hitting just a .197, 3 home runs after he had 50 a season ago, but even a lot of these guys are struggling a little bit. Like, you've got Orlando Arcia, Michael Harris. These two guys, they're hitting a .271. You've been able to get Ronald Acuna Jr. on, as he's been able to give you a .375 on base, hitting just 2 home runs. You know that he's going to be all busters here. Kelnick has done a nice job moving the line. And for the Boston Red Sox, this offense has been able to come to life a little bit as well. Tyler O'Neill has been the big reason why. 9 home runs with a .400 on base. You've got Wilder Abreu, who's been able to do a nice job, along with Rafael Devers, of hitting right around .290. Both of these guys have a little bit of pop, with Devers being able to give you 4 home runs this far this season. Tristan Casas being on the shelf has been a little bit of an issue for the team, but Connor Wong How about Mr. Wright giving you about a 345 average, 5 home runs this far this season? But the big thing is you need a little bit more of the guys like Pablo Reyes, Sadine Rafaela, Emmanuel Valdez, Bobby Dalbec. These guys are hitting a 205 or lower. And for both of these teams, the bullpens have been relatively sneaky good. Justin Slayton has been amazing for this Red Sox team. Give me a sub-2 ERA. Brandon Bernardino has been utilized as an opener. He's been able to hold down the fort in relatively good fashion as well. You've got Chris Martin, who's had a little bit of a rocky start to the season, but he's been able to be a relatively solid bridge to Kenley Jansen, who's been able to lock it down. This Red Sox team, 8th in the big leagues with regards to bullpen ERA. The Atlanta Braves is very comparable. At 10th, you've got Tyler Mazick, who's really had his struggles to begin the season, but past that, most of these guys are doing a nice job, like Dylan Lee. He's been able to give you a sub-275 ERA. Likes of A.J. Minter, Pierce Johnson are hovering more around a 3, while Rossy Iglesias continues to be a relatively locked-down closer. And I do think that Ronaldo Lopez, he's going to see a little bit of regression as well, but he was just badly used by the Chicago White Sox the last few seasons. They thought he was a relief piece. Every single time that he was showing flash, it felt like they went away from him. Has given up just 2 home runs and 30 innings thus far this season. His walks per 9 rate is hovering right around 3, but he's given up 3 runs or fewer in every one of his starts. The Atlanta Braves have really unlocked what he's able to do, and I do think that he gives a relatively solid start, but I think that both of these offenses bust out here. Semi-tall at a 9.1. I'm going to be looking at the 9 over, and want to lay a run half with the Atlanta Braves at anything north of a plus 105, and we wrap things up with 9.29, 9.30 on the betting board. The Milwaukee Brewers are on the road facing off against the Kansas City Royals as Seth Lugo goes for the Royals. Colin Ray says hip hip hooray to another start for the Brewers, and the Brewers who find themselves as underdogs anywhere between plus 112 to plus 115. Meanwhile, anywhere between minus 122 to minus 135 is your number on Kansas City. 8.5 to 9 is the total on the 8.5 over between minus 115 to a minus 125. Under is between minus 105 to plus 105. And on the 9, that under is minus 120. The over is even. Needed at least a plus 133 to take a shot on the Brewers. So I'm going to be willing to lay with the Kansas City Royals. The one concern that I have for Seth Lugo is that he allows many, many balls to be in play. But that said, for Seth Lugo, he's done a very nice job of just being able to hold it down in general. He induces a lot of soft contact as he's got a fielding independent of 345 compared to his .60 ERA, but has given up just 3 home runs in 45 innings this season. Once again, those 6.2 strikeouts per 9 innings. Would like to see a little bit more, but he's facing off against a Milwaukee Brewers team that I think that they are, for one, doing for a little bit of regression with their young guys and how they've been able to hit this far this season. I think that we can all conclude that the Brewers were a little bit underrated with the likes of Blake Perkins along with Bryce Rank coming into the season, but I don't know if they're as good as they have shown thus far. Both of these guys have been able to give you north of a 360 on base. It's been William Contreras who's been really carrying the team. He and Willie Adames, a combined 11 home runs for Adames. He's hitting about a 260 with a 345 on base, while Contreras north of a 400 on base. And good news for the Brewers is that Seth Lugo is not a left-handed pitcher. They have just not been able to lefties all season long. I have no idea how, I have no idea why, but it really lingers back to what we saw last season as well. And many of the bullpen pieces, they are not lefties as well, other than Anel Zirapa, along with Will Smith is not necessarily the most trustworthy guy in the world, but this has been a Royals team that has been above average with regards to their bullpen area. Top 12 team with that regard, with having James MacArthur hold down the fort. And for the Brewers, you've been able to get some good production of so many of these guys. Hobie Milner, Elvis Piguero, Joe Piamps. These are guys who will be able to give you a sub-3.5 ERA over the last 2 seasons. They're bringing in Kevin Hergett from the Reds to be able to fortify things. I don't know if he's going to be able to make too much of an impact, but I like what I've seen out of Trevor Megill. He's posting up a sub-125 ERA of his own. And for Colin Ray, his ERA last year was about 0.7 points lower when he was away from home rather than when he was at home, and that's lingered into this year. 2.30 road ERA, 3 ERA at home, and he's been able to do a relatively solid job of being able to clean up some of the walks, giving up about 3 walks per 9 innings, much like Seth Lugo, a pitcher contact guy that is only getting about 7 or so strikeouts per 9 innings. So I do think that we're going to see a little bit of regression on his end, and he does have to face off against a Royals team that may have been royally better when they've been at home rather than away from home in terms of their offense. This is a Royals unit that, in terms of runs per game at home, they entered into the series averaging right around about 4.95 runs per game. That's in the top 3 in the American League. You've had each of your top 5 players with regards to total at-bats hitting at least 4 home runs thus far this season, though. 3 of those guys in Michael Garcia, Vinny Pascantino, MJ Melendez, like to see them hit a little bit better than a 236 or lower, but Bobby Witt Jr., Salvador Perez, 12 home runs between the two of them. Both are giving you north of a 375 on base. It's a little bit of an all or nothing lineup. The guys like Adam Frazier, Hunter Renfroe at the bottom of the fold, and you blow them Mendoza line 200 and for Nelson Velasquez. I expected a little bit more than just two home runs and a 215 average. I do think that he's going to be able to pick it up a little bit, but I do think that in the end, the Royals, they find a way to persevere, get the job done. I do like them on the money line, and did somebody tell it an 8.4? I do think that for the Brewers, we're going to see that lineup start to regress just a little bit, so I'm willing to dive in on the under, especially with both of these bullpens being as good as they are, and go with the money line of the Royals, and that'll wrap things up for the Tuesday edition of the Baseball Betting Show, now part of the VSiN Family Podcast. Big thanks to Andrew Cayley of Covers for joining me in the last segment. If you do like hearing from the Signed Podcast Baseball Betting Show, you're able to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, Stitcher, and TuneIn. If you have a question, comment, segment idea, what have you for this podcast, you have one of two ways to be able to throw those in. First one is by Twitter /XSimeline at GNN_D1. Keep in mind, letters M, they mean does not matter, so as per usual, please do send these into the timeline. Otherwise, find an Apple Podcast review. If you rate this podcast 5 stars, it is very much appreciated. From there, you're able to fire in whatever you'd like to hear on this podcast via the 5-star review, and I'm coming at you guys every single day throughout the baseball season. That means I'm back with you once again tomorrow. Thank you so much for tuning in.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.